12:08 a.m. That is, of course, local time. It's 19:30, which means it's time for another episode of the Dubious Dungeon Committee. Dubious Dungeon Committee, I hear you asking yourself. Yes, as opposed to the Dubious Goals Committee, which normally airs at this time. But today we're going to talk about our latest goal, which is, in fact, a dubious dungeon. What makes it dubious? Well, we don't know where any of the parts came from. Well, we sort of know where the parts came from. Most of the materials, and when I say most, I mean, 99.9% of the materials I'm using to build this dungeon are recycled. I've pulled them out of dumpsters or trash cans or something, or who knows where this stuff comes from, but this is a recycled dungeon. Of course, I did have to buy some paint, but I bought that paint a long time ago, and it has since paid for itself. So the good news is I have no money expenditure so far on this dungeon, and I'm pretty happy about that. If you are just now joining us, or if you are a new listener, or if you haven't been paying attention to previous episodes, yes, I've been building a dungeon, and it is for the most part now complete. I have made 3 dungeon modules out of some bead styrene type of styrofoam, and I've painted them up, and I've made some little doors for the dungeon, and everything is groovy. All I really have left to do is a little bit of paperwork. I've got the majority of the paperwork finished. I need to just make some notes and do some, record keeping stuff, just some accountant type business. The backstory that you need to know is that my old friend Brian has a daughter. Her name is Lily, and she's about, 9 or 10 years old now. Maybe 8. I don't know. I don't really keep track, but this past Saturday, I was over at his house, and we were working on another project, but then somehow, I think it was Lily, now the conversation changed to Dungeons & Dragons, and Lily wants to play Dungeons & Dragons. Apparently she has a friend who introduced her to the game, and so now she has a player handbook and a character, and she was telling me all about her D&D character, but she hasn't actually played. So Brian said, hey, do you want to play Dungeons & Dragons? And I said, of course. And so it was up to me then to create a dungeon. So I got the scrap styrofoam out of my basement, cut it up, painted it, and now we've got ourselves a modular dungeon. And I dug out some miniatures, some monsters that would be appropriate for a first level dungeon, because everybody likes a dungeon crawl, but nobody likes it when the monsters are too tough. So I had to take all these things into consideration, and well, I think I've been fairly successful. All right, so let's just load up the first photograph here. And while you're waiting for the link to appear in the Anon Radio Room of Calm here on SDF, I should tell you, or I should reemphasize, that the main goal of this dungeon is to make it fairly simple for a beginning player, but more importantly, to make it cheap. You know me, I'm on a budget, and that's why we've used all recycled materials here, and that's why I'm so proud that there's been no cash expenditure. Okay, so the photo should be up right about now, and you should be looking at a photograph of my kitchen floor with some styrofoam painted gray on it. If for some reason you're listening to this after the fact from the archive, or if you're not in the Anon Radio Room of Calm and you want to see this photograph, just email me at tobe@sdf.org, and I will send you a link to this photograph. Okay, so, about this photograph. You are looking at a top-down photograph of the three dungeon modules. They are about 14 or 15 inches long, and about 8 to 10 inches wide, and there are three of them. From left to right, there is a big room, and then in the middle we have a snaking corridor with two little rooms, and then on the far right we've got just a snaking corridor. And what I'll end up doing is use these in various combinations. The players will only see one or two of these at any given time, and the dungeon itself will have about a dozen rooms that will be represented mostly by this middle module. It's sort of the main dungeon module with little cells. And I've got a couple of doors that I can drop into these gaps when I need doors. And we'll take a look at the doors here in a minute. So the players will probably start in the far right module, the one that's just a snaking corridor. And that will go on for a while. Maybe they'll run into some wandering monsters, maybe they won't. And then eventually they'll come to the middle module that has the two little rooms in it. And the players can search these rooms, and there'll be monsters in some of these rooms, and there might be treasure in some of these rooms. And then when they leave the module, you know, they'll just sort of enter the other side, you know, because the dungeon will be a number of these little rooms along a corridor. And I only made one module because the players can only be in one module at a time, so we're saving money, we're saving materials, blah, blah, blah. Eventually, after the players battle through all the weaker monsters in these smaller cells, they'll come to this big room that is represented by the module on the far left. And you can see there's a column sort of in the middle or to the left of the room, and that's removable. I'll have a couple of different levels. I'll have two or three levels of that particular room, some of which will have that big rock column in the middle, some of which will not. And so, you know, the players will have to find the secret passage that leads down to the next level of the dungeon. That'll be fun. I've got some interesting beginning monsters to stock in this dungeon so far. Mostly some shamblers, which are some kind of weak zombie type monsters. And I've got some blind cave stalkers, which are, they're like skeletal but chitinous little, well, not too little. I mean, they're 2 or 3 feet long. They're as big as a German shepherd or so. They eat carrion, so they're always scavenging in dungeons. And so the players will run into a lot of those, along with those shamblers. And then I've got one kind of tough monster, a troglodyte. And they'll run into that at some point. I haven't really decided. Maybe he'll just be wandering through, or maybe he'll hear all the commotion from fighting the blind cave stalkers and the shamblers. And so maybe he'll show up because he was attracted by the combat noise. Who knows? And then for our top monster, our big main bad guy, what the video game crowd calls the boss. The boss monster will be some type of, right now I'm calling it the Scorpio worm, because I've got this figure, it looks kind of dragony but is small. And I don't want these, you know, first level characters running into a dragon, because they will die. And so the Scorpio worm will be some kind of wyvern, or perhaps a young dragon, possibly a drake. It doesn't really matter so much, as what you need to know is that it's very dragon-like. It does have claw attacks and biting attacks, and it does have a breath weapon. It will breathe fire, but not very often, because it's young, it's immature. It doesn't know all of its powers yet, and we don't want to waste the players the first time they play the game. We got to give them some kind of fighting chance. So I know what you're thinking. This dungeon looks pretty dull. Well, we're going to look at the door picture here in a second while it loads. But yeah, this dungeon will have some minor accoutrement. It looks boring sitting on the floor, but I will place this on a hex mat so that there'll be spaces so we can count how far everybody's moving and all that stuff. My friend Brian bought a hex mat, and so we'll roll that out on the table. Then the dungeon modules will go on the table. And I don't have very many accoutrements. You know, normally when we do really elaborate dungeons, which this is not, we'll add stuff like treasure chests and lots of torches and spider webs and there's all kinds of other stuff laying around in the dungeon. You know, skeletons and old weapons and rusty stuff and this, that, and the other thing. But the only thing I really have in the way of accoutrements for this entry-level dungeon are doors. And that doors photograph should be up by now. And I have made two types of door. And again, if for some reason you can't see this photograph of my doors, you can email me, tobe@sdf.org, and I'll send you a link. Or you can just look in my gallery on SDF. And right now, all this dungeon stuff is in the miscellaneous folder. I eventually want to create a game stuff folder and move stuff into there, but haven't done that yet. But anyway, looking at the photograph of the doors, on the left, we have two jail cell doors on round bases. And these jail cell doors are made out of quarter-inch hardware cloth, and they're sitting on washers, just regular, like, 7/8 inch diameter fender washers. And I glued the hardware cloth to the washer, and then I covered the washer in a very thin layer of polymer clay, like Sculpey or Fimo. I love that stuff. And so you can see where I like etched in like some brick lines, some paving lines. So it looks like, you know, the doors are on a paved floor, the dungeon floor. And I painted the hardware cloth flat black. I've got some great black paint that's called wrought iron, and I thought, oh, that'll be perfect. So, you know, paint the metal wrought iron so it's all black now, and I painted the bases so it would look like, you know, stone or bricks or, you know, some kind of paved surface. And then I figured, I gotta dress these doors up a little bit. So I added some vegetation. There's like some vines creeping up these jail doors. Now, I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, Tobe, how can plants grow underground in this cavernous dungeon? Don't ask any questions. There's no logic here. This is Dungeons and Dragons, people. It's not supposed to be, you know, too realistic. And so, yeah, I added some little plant life. And if you look on the bases, I added some schmutz, just some moss growing in the cracks of the dungeon floor. And I took some cotton, what I like to call craft cotton. You know when you open up a new bottle of aspirin or Tylenol or something, and there's always that wad of cotton sitting on top? I always save that because you can do stuff with that cotton. It's not the best quality stuff. It's not carded. It's very rough. But it kind of works as spider webs or something. So I put some cotton on these doors. And I thought, oh, maybe it'll look like spider webs, or maybe it's some kind of hanging moss, or who knows what it is. It could be monster fur that got, you know, I don't know, stuck to the doors or something. Who knows? But anyway, those are the dungeon doors. These doors will be used to close off some of the rooms that were seen in the second dungeon module, the one that has the little cells. Now it's time for iced tea. Ah, yeah, so thirsty. All right. And the other door that we have is actually something that I just made on a whim. I don't know why I did this, don't need this, but basically this big door is kind of the dungeon entrance door. Or technically, in the story, the backstory, this will be like the back door. The players will be going through the back door of the dungeon to enter it. because, I don't know, I'll make up some excuse why they can't go in the front door. Because, you know, it's just a cavern under a ruined castle, and so, you know, earthquake or whatever, they can't get in the main way, so they're going in the back door. And so I made this door out of just a piece of foam, a piece of extruded polystyrene that I actually found while I was walking around in my secret mushroom garden. This was just a piece of windblown trash, and I saw it, and this was a big piece. It was about 2 feet by 4 feet. I'm like, wow, that's extruded polystyrene. And you know how much I love extruded polystyrene? It's the ideal material for doing this kind of stuff. It carves well, it cuts well. There's no beads like bead styrene. And so I just basically cut a little square of this foam out, and then I etched it with a pen or a pencil to create, you know, bricks and whatever. And I carved a chunk out of it where the door is, and then I just carved up and down planks for the door. And then I laid two pieces of popsicle stick across the door to make it, you know, look like, you know, just wooden reinforcement or whatever, like doors are. And then I added a little piece of little rectangle of cardboard from one of my waffle boxes. And then I added a jewelry jump ring that I had in my jewelry making stuff. And so then we get a door. That's how you make doors. And then I painted it up, you know, painted the bricks gray, painted the door brown. And also, in the door, in the archway, you can see one of my torches. And this torch was just made out of a short, straight pin, about a half an inch long, with a small blob of hot glue on the end. And then I painted that hot glue orange and red, or yellow and orange, I guess. And then I added a shiny coat of future floor polish, although it's now called Pledge or something with future shine. I could go look at the bottle if you really want to know. If you'd like to learn any of these techniques or have any questions about the materials, etc., drop me a line at tobe@sdf.org. I can tell you all about it. It's all very simple, very easy stuff. Let's take another sip of iced tea while the next photo loads. Good tea today. Good concentration. Just the right amount of lemon and sugar. I do love to drink tea. Okay, now, this third photograph, I should explain, is pretty much for illustrative purposes only. I just, you know, I had the stuff out, I had the camera, I was playing with my toys, and I thought, ooh, I'll take a picture of my toys. This is just kind of an example of what stuff could look like, and I was just, you know, messing around. But this photo does serve to illustrate some points. So, let's take a look at the photo. Here we have a close-up of basically Dungeon Module 2, the one that was in the middle in the first photograph. Then this is the module that has the snaking corridor with the two small cells on each side. And here we have one of the cells. And in the photograph, you can see three of the blind cave stalkers lurking around in one of the cells. And there is a cell door in the entrance at the bottom of the photo. And in this photograph, we can basically see the dungeon paint job. And what I've done is I've spray painted the foam that I've cut. I spray painted it gray with special latex spray paint that doesn't eat styrofoam. If you use regular spray paint on styrofoam, this foam will just melt, so don't do it. And after I spray painted it gray, I then sponged it burnt ochre. I took some burnt ochre paint, smeared it out on my palette, and I took a big sea sponge and I dipped it in the paint, and then I just went stamp, 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 stamp all over the pieces of foam to get those random dark brown splotches that you see. You will also see some Lighter brown splotches, same thing. Just burnt ochre paint and a sponge. Stamp, 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 stamp. And you get, you know, a nice random splotching of color. I should note that the floor you are seeing, you know, the door and the blind cave stalkers are sitting on the floor of the dungeon. That is actually the third dungeon module. The floor of the dungeon will not actually look like this when we play. Like I mentioned before, we will be using a hex mat, so just imagine that the floor is now just sort of tan or light brown color with hexagons on it. And that's what the floor of the dungeon will look like when we play. I just put this photograph together just for the sake of having a photograph. And I thought, oh, I'll just stack this piece on top of the other piece just to get this look and so people can understand how I painted this foam. It's not hard, and it's fast, speedy, and it's cheap. And I'm all about that. The one thing that's sort of annoying about this is now the bases of the monsters and maybe the players don't really match the floor. As you can see, the three monsters, they're standing on bases that have, you know, like a tiled floor or a paved floor look, just like the dungeon doors. And that, again, is achieved by using a metal washer as a base, covering it in polymer clay, and then just etching in those brick lines. And then it's just a matter of paint job. And it's a fairly simple paint job, you know, paint it gray, wash it black, and then dry brush it light gray, or, you know, with a little bit of white paint. And washing and dry brushing are painting techniques. They're very simple. If you want to learn more about them, you can contact me or look online, because there's a lot of information about this kind of stuff, how to paint like that online. Eventually, someday in the future, I will have a nice dungeon table and I will do the entire dungeon floor the way you see on the bases of the door and the monsters. And so then the bases and the floor will match up and it'll all make sense. But what you need to remember is that there doesn't need to be a lot of detail or continuity in this dungeon, because this is all for the benefit of a 9-year-old child who has never seen Dungeons and Dragons before. And so, you know, as it is, this is going to be sufficiently impressive. The funny thing is I've got to hold myself back. You know, my natural inclination is to go nuts and just build in tons of detail and lots of awesome stuff. But, you know, that tends to cost money and it takes a lot of time and you got to buy lots of materials. And we're trying to do this on the cheap and as fast as possible, because this kid is going to want to play any day now. Maybe we'll be playing this weekend. I don't know. I got to email Brian and see what he wants to do. But yes, this photo sort of gives you the basic idea of what this dungeon is going to look like in play. But, oh, I really have to hold myself back from going nuts on it. It's just bead styrene, I keep telling myself. Oh, I'll just paint a little bit of mold and maybe I'll put some moss in the corners. No, we don't need to do that. It just takes time. It adds expense. We don't need that. We're going to use our imaginations. I think this is going to be sufficiently impressive for a 9-year-old, and I really, really need to not keep working on it. Technically, all this stuff is finished. It's ready to go. All the physical pieces are ready. The dungeon is ready. I got the doors ready. I got all the monsters ready. The one thing that we don't have so far, and this is another thing I got to talk to Brian about, is I don't think my players have miniatures for their characters. And the bad news is, I don't think I have any miniatures that would work for them. I don't know. I'd have to check. I don't really know much about my players' characters. I know about Lily's character, who's a girl that wears a hood. And I don't have any miniatures like that. And Brian will probably be some kind of fighter. And I do have some fighter minis. We'll work something out. We'll make something work. And that'll just get the kid excited to go out and buy a miniature for herself, and then she'll have to paint it. So I'll have to give the kid painting lessons, and I'll teach the kid how to paint miniatures. That'll be fun. And then we can play some more Dungeons and Dragons. And as I sit here, it occurs to me that some of my listeners out there will probably be fairly familiar with Dungeons and Dragons and may be asking themselves, I wonder which Dungeons and Dragons they're playing, which rules, blah, blah, blah. Well, the truth of the matter is, I'm an old person, and I got into Dungeons and Dragons when I was very young, around, the age of about 10 or 11. I was really into it by the time I was 12, but regardless, we will be using the TSR rules, not the new WizKids Dungeons & Dragons 5.0 or whatever. We'll be using 3.0 rules, or maybe 3.5. I really don't know how the rules are designated, but yeah, these are the early but not earliest rules. As I look onto my rule book, it says that this edition was published in 1980. That's right, 36 years ago. And so those are the rules we're going to be playing, because I'm the damn dungeon master and what I say goes. And I only know the old system, the old D20 style system. So we're going to be playing that way. And yes, it will still be fun. These are people who have never played the game before, so start them out with the basic stuff, and if they want to get into it, they can get into it as deep as they want to. Well, and that's about it, dungeon-wise. There's not a whole heck of a lot more to tell you about this dungeon, other than I will probably do a write-up of this, just something short, simple, sweet, and to the point, and I will post it on my terrain making forum. Yes, I belong to a forum that is nothing other than how to make terrain for games. So like if you play Dungeons and Dragons, you might be interested in this forum because you're building dungeons and stuff. Or if you play war games, okay? And so this is a forum on which I am a moderator. I'm so proud. And we all post pictures of our projects and stuff like that and talk about the games we're playing. And if you want to learn how to make terrain and stuff for your games, this is a good place to be a member. It is Terra Genesis. If you just Google or do a search for Terra Genesis, you can find it. I think the URL is www.terragenesis.uk. That's right. It's over in England. Terragenesis.uk. You can learn all kinds of techniques for building things out of foam, and you can get advice on painting. Anything you want to know about building terrain for miniature gaming, whether it's, you know, castles and dungeons, or it's desert scenes, or it's the forest for your war games, you know, whatever. We build it. Even if you're just into dollhouse making, Terra Genesis is for you. Show us pictures of your dollhouse. Well, I'm looking at the clock, and it looks like it's time for me to get out of here. Who am I, you might ask? Well, my name's Tobe. I am, in fact, the Dungeon Master, and I am the chairman of the Dubious Dungeon Committee, a show that airs every single day at 1930 UTC right here on Anon Radio. So be sure to tune in every day to find out what I'm up to. Who knows? Maybe we'll be building more dungeons. Maybe we'll be looking for mushrooms or marmots. It's always a crapshoot. I'm out of here. Bye-bye, kids.
This is the end of the line for me. The end of the line, yes.